Engage.
The Rancor's Brothel.
Welcome to Rancor's Brothel, issue number, 83, I don't know.
75 billion.
Is it? Wow!
we got up there. Jim Thorpe and I recorded a lot of episodes. We missed that one time.
Oh, did you? That was amazing.
Yeah.
Look for those in the future, the next 1,024 years. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, Cody.
And with us today is a Follow Network's guru. Who?
My name is Fact Checker Troy.
Fact check a Troy in the house.
Instead of getting Facebook messages, we're gonna get instant updates when we get something wrong.
You are wrong about that. No, Batman never had butt sex. What?
Actually, an issue.
Oh my goodness!
Really? It's probably written by Kevin Smith before the 252 because he peed himself, so he might as well have butt sex too.
Oh my god! Why do people get so mad about Batman peeing himself?
Because he's Batman, and he should have control of his continence.
No, it's a bladder spasm. It's explained in the comic book. It is not peeing himself. The force of the blast created a bladder spasm, which made him evacuate the bladder.
It's a little too realistic for a guy who, for the last 75 years, has been running around getting the crap beat out of him each night and hurting people.
But this is supposed to be in his first year of doing it. Oh, he was still training. Like, one time, when I was very fat, much fatter than I am now, I got a membership at the Y. And so I went and I thought, I'm going to start swimming at the Y. So then, because I used to be a good swimmer. So I get in the pool, and I start to swim my one lap, and I get to the point where it's too deep for me to touch, and I'm exhausted. And I push so hard, I pissed myself. Not intentionally. Just peed everywhere in the pool. I couldn't stop it. Now I'm no Batman, but I only swam half a lap.
Jesus.
I don't care, he's Batman, he shouldn't be pissing himself.
Oh, Troy, you dick. This week, some announcements have come out in the past couple weeks about the new Secret Wars, so we're going to go into a little more in-depth, at least, into the philosophy of what's going to happen to Marvel. What has happened in the past when DC, for instance, has rebooted, started everything over from scratch. What's going to happen with Marvel? Marvel tested it 10 years ago with the Ultimate Universe, 15 years ago. Well, what's going to happen now when we combine those two universes? Let's talk about it. But before that, let's get to, what have you been reading?
Well, so, exciting news. This is off the cuff because I didn't get a chance to tell you, Matt. So this will be live. All the reactions.
Oh my. I'm ready. Let's go.
So, I got a call about a week ago.
Was it Robin? Was he calling you out dog food?
No. Oh. It was Adam West.
Ah! Was it cat food?
Yes, exactly. Adam West. Cat food. No, Pete actually called me, and he's been saving my books for the last 6.5 months that I haven't been to the store. He's like, hey, you gonna come pick up your book sometime? I was like, oh, man.
My God, 6.5 months? You need to get a car loan for that amount of comics.
Yes. Well, that was the thing. I went in, and he's like, you've been working a lot, huh? And I was like, yeah, and whatever. And so, anyway, so I bought a whole bunch of comic books, and I have been rapidly catching up. So I have been reading, I've probably read in the last week, 45 or 50 comics.
Nice.
So I'm getting close to being able to talk about relevant things.
Yay!
And since I knew the topic today, I am almost caught up on Avengers New Avengers. There's one or two issues I think that have come out in the last week that I don't have. But otherwise, I'm good to go there. So
great.
Been reading a lot of comic books.
Has that been are you ignoring your wife?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I am reading on an average of 7 or 8 comic books a night for the last week. So I come home, have dinner, and then just read comics. Still it's time to go to bed.
Your comic book reading habit reminds me of my podcasting habit where my son just said, Daddy, are you done podcasting? It's time for you to play with me. And I'm like, no, I have to do Rancor's Brothel, Joe. I'll be done in a minute, I promise. So it's going to be a quick episode. Let's go. Hey, good for you, though, catching up, because it really has been a very long time since we've been able to talk about anything current. So.
Yes, which, by the way, Star Wars number 1 is awesome.
Isn't it?
Finally got to read that.
It was so much fun. It is number 2, what is that, another week?
I think next week? No, the week after that?
Yeah, I think it's still a couple weeks, maybe.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, it's just so fresh, I'm like, let's, I want more!
He did do a great job. Like I said, Jason Aaron's one of my favorites, he's a great storyteller.
He really is.
He did a great job. I mean, it felt it, you know, when you're flipping the pages, you get, you know, the crawl, you get that feel of it. The only thing that I can think that has compared where they're crossing mediums, the X-Files comic that IDW has been doing has that same feel, where they try and adapt the pages in such a way so that you have something shocking, and then the last panel is the X-Files, you know, logo. You know what I mean? So they're doing, it's a very similar thing, and I think it'll be interesting with Marvel now in control of Star Wars. It looks like they're starting off on the right foot. I don't know about the...
I just can't wait for Star-Lord to show up.
I don't know about the million crossovers that they've got. I don't know about a Leia book and a Vader book, but at least Jason Aaron's core book seems good. Promising after the first
season. I mean, I didn't put the Leia or the Vader book on my poll, but definitely put the Star Wars on there, because that first book was very gripping, very Troy.
Good. Yeah, no, I loved it too. I enjoyed it. I'm Jason Aaron again. I was so excited to meet him, you know, whenever that was. But it's been almost a year now, hasn't it?
He was at... Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, when he was up at Alter Ego, but...
In Muncie, Indiana.
All the books that I had of him signed, well, some of them, I didn't realize that he had written so many other books that John had shown me. I was like, damn it, I didn't get this signed from him either, but...
Yeah.
But no, Star Wars is great. Yeah, I can't wait for the next issue.
I mean, he's a great storyteller, and he clearly is a Star Wars fan, and you can feel that sort of...
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the voices. It's one of the few books I've ever read where I'm hearing the voices in my head while I'm reading it. Because he's got the style, the way they're talking down exactly the way it should be.
Like, when I read The Killing Joke, when I read The Joker, I hear Mark Hamill in my head.
Right.
So, I totally understand that. And, like, the affectation, everything about the characters, just the linguistics they would use, the lingo, is spot on. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one of the coolest things I've read when I'm catching up on 6 months' worth of comics.
I love that my son... put his wet snow boots on my issue number one, so I need to find another first printing of issue number one.
I do know they have them at Downtown Comics.
I'm sure John has it too.
Yeah.
With the giant party that we had at the Android's Dungeon, I'm sure he still has some extras.
Yeah.
So, I'll probably pick one up. Speaking of that, next week at the Android's Dungeon in scenic Avon, Indiana, we will be having our book club meeting. We're reading Deadly Class. It's a Remender book. It's fun. Have you read it, Cody?
No.
Is it on your radar at all?
I know it just because it's a Remender book. Remender's one that's always kind of on my periphery.
Mm-hmm.
I get a couple things by him, but I've only read a few of his ongoing series. So no, it's one of those that I'd like to read, but I've never actually gotten a hold of it.
Troy, what about you, sir?
I picked it up. I haven't read it yet. I wanted to read it before now to be prepared, because I wanted to read it a couple times before book club, but so I'll read it this week.
I read it, one night before bed, I just ran through it and read the whole thing, and the volume one, you know, issues 1 through 6. It was fun, but I don't know if I really am in love with the story, so we'll see. I'm probably going to give it another read-through before next week at the dungeon. That's 3:30 p.m., February 7th, at the Android's Dungeon in Avon, Indiana. That's at Rockville and Gable Drive. Rockville Road and Gable Drive, so meet us there.
Tucked back in the shopping center, so...
Yeah, you'll see a Fix My Cell and Lens Alterations, and then behind that is an awesome comic book store ran by a wonderful individual. So,
fact.
Check that out. Speaking of Indianapolis comic news, too, at Downtown Comics North in Castleton, by the Target and the Toys R Us.
The Outback, that's usually what I'm reminded of.
The Outback?
Yeah.
We're going to have Neil Adams.
Yeah, I wish I had more books by him. I'm pretty stoked. I was a big fan of reading the Green Lantern, Green Arrow.
I've got a couple of those
issues from the 70s.
So. I got to decide which one I want him to sign because it's free for the first book.
Don't quote me on that. I think I saw that on their Facebook page that he's going to sign, which is a pretty big deal. The fact that you get somebody, you know,
to get Neil Adams to sign a book is amazing. Then to get him to sign it for free.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I'm pretty sure that they'll issue their certificates of authenticity as well. So that's really nice that they do that. But yeah, it's Thursday the 12th, I believe.
That sounds right. Yeah, because I think
Is that an all day affair or is it?
I think it's 4 to 7, maybe.
Great. I'll be there.
Yeah. No. They usually when they do those weekday signings, they're usually in the evening. So
great. Oh, I'm so there.
I expect there to be quite a line, probably. Although you never know, they had Mark Wade in there one time, and I went in at 5 o'clock, and there was no one in the store. So, might just get a party with Neil.
Hey guys,
the wrong Neil.
Oh, hey, you want to sign some comic books, some funny books?
Yeah,
that's our friend Neil. I'm sorry, I'm doing an impression of him. It's horrible. Okay, so that's indie comic news, I guess. What are you reading, Troy?
The thing that I'm excited about most that I'm reading right now is Amazing X-Men. There's a once in future Juggernaut storyline that's going on.
Ooh.
The Gem of Sidorak, which
bands which, of Sidorak.
No, it's the Gem
is
of Sidorak.
Is it the Gem?
Yes.
Who has the bands of something?
Don't worry about it.
When I think of the Quasar, he has bands of
Quasar
something.
Has bands, quantum bands.
Quantum bands.
But that's what gives the Juggernaut his powers. It's basically sending out a signal because it wants somebody else to become his avatar again. And, you know, Colossus being one that's held it before, and also Kay Marco are kind of answering the call. So I'm a big Colossus fan, as I've said before. So I'm enjoying it. It's cool. So I'm excited to see where this is headed.
Who are the other contenders?
Well, there haven't been a lot of contenders. You know, Colossus, the X-Men good guys feature heavily in the first book. Then you see Kane Marco, Crossbones is also
Ooh.
In the second one, so you're seeing some new characters kind of vying for this.
I would like Juggernaut. A new Juggernaut. I think it'd be fun. One of the best things I think that the Spider-Man story has done was give the Venom symbiote to Matt Gargan, the Scorpion.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can take two characters and combine them into one, in essence. So it's amazing. So if we did that with the Juggernaut, with the Gem of Sidorak, well, that'd be amazing.
That's why I enjoyed the hell of it when Colossus had it.
Yeah. Like,
Colossus, who's already super strong, is already a badass. Now he gets the Juggernaut powers, so, like, he's just... He probably could have taken down the Hulk if he had went face-to-face with him, with all the combined power. Who knows, but... Yeah, that was amazing. And then he got the Phoenix Force, so he lost those powers. But
well, that will happen. He only got 20% of the Phoenix Force, so...
Yeah, this is true. Well, it's not split airs, he wasn't yet. One of the... He was, what, the third? He got a little bit more than 20%.
Did he?
Yeah.
Namor was the first to go... And then he and his sister went
pretty close
together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he'd have gotten a little bit. Yeah. You know.
He was like a 30%.
25%. He got upwards of 25%. I think he went before his sister, before Ileana, so.
So is this the first appearance? Yeah, because he had that awesome fight with Spider-Man, wasn't it? Didn't he trick him in a cave or something and got him to destroy himself?
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
I haven't read that in a while. I need to look that one back up.
It was pretty cool. That whole storyline was a little weird. That issue was really, really cool. I really like that issue a lot. Is this the first appearance we've seen of Colossus then, since that? Because I know he like walked off into a cave, and I haven't seen him in any issues in a long time.
No, he was in Cable and X-Force.
Okay.
After that. He's been in Amazing X-Men here and there. He hasn't really been that prominent. Unfortunately, like I said, I haven't read a whole lot of X-Men comic books. I kind of fell out of it when Original Sin popped up, because I was getting all those books, so my money can only go to so many
right
books. So, but once I heard that this storyline was happening, that he'd be featured in it, I'm picking this up. So
nice.
Amazing X-Men's been kind of weird because it's Wolverine is still also in it, but he's dead, so I don't know how that's been working out. But
get a weird timeline issue going on.
Well, so, it was weird because Nightcrawler, I think, reappeared in the first issue or two of that book, and he's supposed to be dead. So
well, he came back to life. In the second issue, technically, of Amazing X-Men. Then he got his own line, and Lucas reads those books, and apparently now he's possibly going to be dead again.
Uh-huh.
But he's in these Juggernaut books, so I don't know. It's a little confusing. There's so many X-Men books, it's ridiculous.
Maybe it's time for a reboot, one might say.
It's not a reboot.
Maybe we could start over, or maybe we can just have one continuity and roll with it.
It's not a reboot.
It's not a reboot. Okay, we'll get to that. I have been reading, of course, I keep up on, I've read the Star Wars, I loved it, keep up on my Walking Dead, reading some Batman, not a whole lot. I just hit the library, I got Annihilators, which is the follow-up after the death of Star-Lord. Anybody?
I think I know the is that where they go to, what do they call it? The negatives?
Nowhere. They were in nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah. They didn't go to the negative zone. Let me think here. It's Ronan, the Accuser. It is Quasar. It is Beta Ray Bill, Silver Surfer, and then some Space Knight. I can't remember what her name was. But they make a team of Alpha Plus heroes for the universe. They got tapped after Star-Lord died. when the Guardians of the Galaxy dissolved and became the new, like, heavy hitters in case something was a universe-ending threat.
Huh.
Very fun book. Just, you know, I just got Volume 1 at the library and really enjoyed it. I'm going to have to look up the next couple of sets. It was pretty cool, though.
Gotcha.
A really good dichotomy, especially with, like, you know, you're used to Ronan being a bad guy.
Yeah.
So to have him fighting because he's like, you know, a bad guy can't be a bad guy if the universe is gone. So he's got to do something. But it was really fun book. And then there was like a couple issues of a Groot and Rocket adventure at the end, which nice. Was effed up. Not a big fan. Not a big fan of that story and that writing. I'm just going to say. I mean, it's not made for a 30-year-old man. So what are you going to do? All right?
Donna?
Also read Deadly Class, getting ready for the book club. Again, it was interesting, but not something I would purchase on a regular basis. It's a borrow book, not a buy book.
Oh, and you should let people know that you'll be recording, right?
Yeah, if you come to the book club at the Android's Dungeon,
which I hear scenic, is beautiful, Avon, Indiana.
Scenic Avon, Indiana, in which all the buildings are brown and all the people are white.
Jesus.
What? There's an ordinance. It's a rule. We will be recording all day there, so you could come be on any of the Follow Network shows that will be there. There'll be a instant film review, Mad Chat, and of course the Rancor's Brothel. We're also going to record the discussion from the book club on Deadly Class, and we'll probably put it here on the Rancor's Brothel feed, so check that out in a couple of weeks. So we'll see you here, hopefully, February 7th at the Android's Dungeon. Movie of the day, or movie of the week. Movie of the Rancor's Brothel. Yeah, I'll just keep that file. Fuck it, I don't even care. Okay, geek movie of the week. I consider myself a film geek. I regularly rent the new things, go to the theater when I can, try to absorb as much media as possible, and this week I decided to go back to the well and watch some Quentin Tarantino. I've watched Django this weekend.
Nice.
And Django. I watched Django! And I also watched Inglourious Basterds. So that is the geek movie of the week, Inglourious Basterds.
Nice.
Gentlemen, thoughts on the film?
I loved it. I was just enthralled with the movie.
Good thoughts, Troy. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was great. I'm sorry.
Can you tell that they've been recording together for a while today?
Yeah, this is now hour 4 of recording podcasts for Troy and Matt. No, really. I mean, thoughts beyond that it was awesome. Because the only people I've ever met that didn't like the Inglourious Basterds, we went for my birthday. My family went. My mom and dad, me and Natalie, and my grandparents. My dad's mom and stepdad went. And, you know, like, grandma's like 80-ish, and grandpa, she's kind of a cougar, so grandpa's like 65. And they didn't really appreciate it that much. Probably because they're from, well, grandma is from the greatest generation, and grandpa, you know, is the earliest of baby boomers.
She robbing the cradle?
I just said she was a cougar. Dude, she runs the mini marathon every year. Still, she's 81 now. So, yeah. Or she'll be 80. Yeah, she'll be 82 this year. Sorry.
Nice.
Well, I think that it I don't know. I think it would be hard to see. It does not take a, what do I want to say here? I don't want to say religious because that implies something entirely. It doesn't take a It takes a very Tarantino look at World War II.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, they went into it thinking ahead of time, like, oh, this is going to be, like, a historical movie. Oh, I'm going to enjoy this. They really liked, one of their favorite movies was, what's that, Daniel Craig is a Polish Jew hiding in the woods with Liev Schreiber.
Is that Archangel?
Defiance. They loved that film. Absolutely loved it. They thought it was great. It's based on historical, you know, facts, some of it.
As opposed to other facts.
Well,
historical facts.
We were at war in 1945 when Inglourious Basterds took place.
Right.
However, we didn't shoot Hitler in a movie theater. That we know of.
That we know of.
That we know of.
Ah, that was great. So grandma and grandpa really, like, we went to dinner afterwards, and I was like, okay, this is all I wanted for my birthday. My wife was like, do you want to have a birthday party? I said, no, let's go to a movie. Let's have the family go to a movie. We go to the movie afterwards, we go to a restaurant, we sit down and talk about it. I said, all right, what did everybody think of the film? Natalie says, oh my God, it was great. It was amazing. Great performances. I loved the entire design of the picture. It really sucked me in. Mom and Dad were all about it. Loved it. Mom especially. Dad's all right. Then gets to Grandma and Grandpa. What'd you think of it? That was total shit, Matthew. I hated every minute of it, and it was so long.
I mean, I think that to put it into perspective, though, I mean, being something that someone witnessed, like, that would be an entirely different thing. I mean, it's going to happen sometime in our lifetime. Someone is going to have a mocking portrayal of 9/11.
Yeah.
And I think that that will hit home for people who watched it.
I mean, that's already very, happened. Very differently. On the comedian Nick Jeselnik, the Jeselnik Offensive on Comedy Central. It's not there anymore, but he did a... Oh, God, it was a sketch show, kind of, and a little sketch of it showed the Trade Centers.
Anthony Jeselnik.
Is it Anthony?
Yes.
What did I say, Nick?
You said Nick.
Nick Jeselnik? Okay, whatever. Anthony Jeselnik. I don't know people's first names. It showed the Twin Towers, and on them was, like, you ever watch Conan when he would have, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger on, but it was on the screen? It was a picture of him, but the eyes and the mouth were moving. It was that, but they were in the World Trade Centers, and there was two babies crying. And then an airplane flies into the mouth of one baby, and that baby stops crying, and the other baby cries harder until the next airplane flies into its mouth.
See, I think that something like that is, you know...
That's existed for 2 years now.
Well, but I mean, you're talking about a multi-million dollar film versus one sketch that somebody did once upon a time.
That people saw.
Yeah. It was hilarious. I will go ahead and say, but...
No, I
still
think...
Still awful.
I think it's interesting. I actually, this was...
Headline, Matt Eder says 9/11 was hilarious. No. Sorry. Everybody to be clear on that. Not funny.
I guarantee you, if you put that as the title, we are going to get so many downloads.
Oh my God. I'm going to make that the title.
All you do is put an asterisk at the end and then say no.
Not really.
Yeah, because nobody reads my witty comments. What can I say?
I don't even know the titles of our show anymore.
Inglourious Basterds is based on a film from the 70s of the same name, and this was when Netflix, you couldn't not get just digital, so I was still getting discs, and I actually watched it, and it is sort of your typical Clint Eastwood war movie of the era, and so there's nothing in it that is remotely tied to the Tarantino film that I can think of, other than it's the same thing, the guys are going in to, you know...
And they're like, they're, what, Jewish soldiers, or?
I mean, I would say it's a lot like The Dirty Dozen. Like, it feels like a 70s version of
The
Dirty
Dozen. Which is so funny, because isn't he making that next?
I have no idea.
He's making, like, the Fucked Up 13 or something.
It's
like,
the, it's an 8. It's something 8.
Oh, okay, no, it was Magnificent 7.
Magnificent 7 was,
What, okay, that's
which
what
is a fantastic movie.
Never seen it.
Oh my God.
It's so, on the list.
Yeah.
It's on the list of seeing before I die.
But I think that it's got Tarantino's quirky, bizarre, satirically humorous, and dark view of things. It's very good. It's got a lot of angles. And I think compared to... So what were the movies he did right before Inglourious? It would have been Kill Bill 1 and 2, and did he have one other one?
Well, I mean, no, before... Kill Bill led into Inglourious. That was the next one.
So, I mean, I felt like Kill Bill...
He did... I'm sorry, you know what? He did do the whole Grindhouse thing.
Right.
In between there. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So I think if you look at Kill Bill and Grindhouse, if those aren't your thing, Tarantino's been off the radar for you for the better part of a decade.
Right.
And this, I think, met general mass appeal a lot better because it's a war movie about Nazis, and I mean, if you want to make something, you know, about total evil, you make it about Nazis. Whether it's Nazi zombies, Nazis coming back from the dead, Nazis in the snow, that's what
Nazis
you do.
Nazis on the moon!
Nazis on the moon. Iron Sky. Great movie.
That was amazing. It was so funny.
They're making a sequel to
that. I know. And they made a sequel to Dead Snow, too.
Oh, that's right.
It's for rent right now. It's actually, I think it's on Netflix now, too.
Nice.
So check that out. But, no, Inglourious Basterds. Such a fun movie. My first experience with Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
When I watched X-Men First Class, I was like, oh, who's this Magneto guy? He's great. And then I realized, I found out he played Michael Fassbender. Or he was played by Michael Fassbender, who was in this movie. I was like, oh, that's where I know him from. Wow. Fucking amazing. Like, that was his, what I think at least, his mainstream break in movies.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. I remember seeing him in something else. I don't remember what it is, but I saw him in something, one thing beforehand, I think. Before Inglourious Basterds, but that was definitely the one that broke him, I mean, to the mass audience.
Yeah.
I would say, because he was a stage actor, I think, prior to that, because I think he's got traditional Shakespearean ties, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I think he's been in a couple of smaller films about, you know, maybe he was in a Hamlet or, you know, something to that effect.
Is Michael Fassbender not a geek god? Prometheus, X-Men,
Inglourious Basterds. He's going to be in the Assassin's Creed movies.
I mean, come on.
Or movie.
He's like our Jesus. He's our geek Jesus. He's our geeksus.
I don't know, Star-Lord might be giving him a run for his money. He's gonna be in everything.
Yeah, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park.
I will jerk off to him if he's Indiana Jones.
Oh my god.
He has such a good jawline and the
physique. They just did the thing where they took his head and photoshopped it onto Indiana Jones' body and it looked amazing. That's all I need.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch Parks and Rec now and not get, like, a boner.
Yeah, like I said, Parks and Rec's almost ruined for me because I just see him as Star-Lord now, and seeing him as the Andy character again, it throws me off. It really
Today,
does.
After I took a shower, I was getting dressed, I turned Parks and Rec on, and he's like, it was in his shining shoes period. And I'm like, oh my god, that guy's amazing! But it was just shining shoes.
It shows you his capabilities as an actor in that you can believe him in that role and you can also believe him as this savior of the galaxy.
Or you could see him on movie 43 and he has to poop on Anna Faris's chest. You know, I mean...
She probably does in real life.
Well, I mean, they're married, so who knows?
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Who knows? I would poop on her chest. I'm just throwing that out there.
I'd do whatever she wanted me to.
Yeah. Seriously.
Seriously. The one anecdote I had for you about Inglourious Basterds, because I know you like my... stories of where I find out weird things that happen during filming and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I particularly like to find directors who have treated actors horribly or done really strange things to them.
Uh-huh.
And so Inglourious, when they're in the theater, right, mm-hmm. and the theater's burning down around them. I read this somewhere in an article, Cracked or something like that, so I'm assuming it's at least remotely backed up by, you know, logic and research. they set the theater ablaze, right? And it's supposed to be a controlled fire because they're supposed to film. A lot of times the fire is low intensity but looks flashy. Well, for whatever reason, they didn't anticipate it to catch fire nearly as fast as it did. And so it starts going up in flames and they're like, we gotta get out of here. Like, this is literally burning down. And apparently Tarantino's like, No, shoot. So they shot all of those scenes with the actual burning of the theater in like 2 or 3 minutes. Apparently the guys who actually execute Hitler, they've got the gel on them that is supposed to, I think, prevents heat up to like 500, 600, 800 degrees, somewhere in there, for about 30 seconds. It's, when you do the Man on Fire, it's the same stuff that you use. And apparently they were reaching temperatures of like 1,000, 1,200. So the airline cable that's supposed to hold, is it the Iron Cross or is it the swastika?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that shot of it fall? You're not supposed to get those to break until you get to, like, temperatures of 1,400 degrees. Like, apparently they burnt that place down. And he's just like, film it! The platform that they were actually filming the assassination of Hitler on apparently collapsed from fire, like, mere minutes after they evacuated the camera crew.
Wow.
Like, apparently it was a big deal. You get a lot of stuff of, like, Hitchcock and Kubrick being weird, but you don't get some of the more modern ones. I always thought that was really interesting.
That's why Quentin Tarantino should have went to high school. Because he never did. He dropped out of high school.
Well, you know, I mean, once you make that kind of money, you can do whatever you want, right?
I think back to, I remember Mr. Miller's history class.
Mr. Miller.
You remember him from junior high, right? He was my homeroom teacher.
And I love Mr. Miller.
A young lady named Jennifer Leverance. On a Monday morning, Mr. Miller asked, well, what did you guys do this weekend? And we went around the room and said what we did. And Jennifer said, in the 7th grade, so we're 12, 13 years old. And she says, oh, my parents took me to go see Pulp Fiction. And Mr. Miller said, I saw it too. What's wrong with your parents? Never forget that. That was my first experience with Quentin Tarantino.
His stuff is so good. I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, his way of making films, I feel like, has probably changed some aspects of the genre, particularly Pulp Fiction and the, you know, non-chronological order in which it's been told is, it's fantastic. And I just feel like Inglourious put him back on the map. I think for a lot of people, especially with the Grindhouse stuff, if you don't know the historical background, it's kind of a niche film.
It's niche, but God, is it good.
It's good, but I mean, as mass appeal, do you think people are going to go out and watch that?
No.
I don't think so at all.
Well, fuck them. They're stupid, because it's an amazing movie.
Well, but I mean, when you're Quentin Tarantino and you've got no high school diploma, you got to kind of make the bills, so make something that...
He's not going to go work at McDonald's. He's Quentin Tarantino. He can go to Comic Cons and sign autographs for $5 a pop and make his living. He's fine. He's fine. You wouldn't pay $5 to have his have him sign something?
Only if he's doing something really weird, I think.
Oh my God, no. I would pay him $5 to let me touch him.
All right.
Fuck on his arm or something, you gross fuck.
And this is where Matt gets the the court order to stay away from Quentin Tarantino.
I will find you. Okay, gentlemen, today we are here to discuss one major topic, and that is the dissolution? The fuck-up of the Marvel Universe.
I would say the combination. It's really the 616 universe and the Ultimate Universe clashing together, it seems like.
Yeah, no, definitely.
What do we think is going to happen? What do we expect?
I honestly want an out-and-out reboot of the universe.
I think that'd be amazing.
I really do.
Marvel, I mean, that you want what the Ultimate Universe started out as.
Sort of, yeah. But Marvel's never really done that. You know,
no.
DC's does it every 20 years. They have a crisis, and then they reboot. And they have a crisis, and they reboot. And then this last time, they had the New 52. What, 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
Ish. 2011.
Yeah, so Marvel's never really done that, and I honestly wish that they would just kind of, like, hit the reset button. You don't have to really change things drastically, you know. Just say, hey, this is the new Captain America starting over again. We're going to tell his story again. Change some things, you know, maybe tell some different stories, whatever the case may be. Or here's the X-Men. Here's what they are. Here's where they started out as. Whatever the case is. I don't know. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but that's kind of what I want, honestly.
I would, too. I would appreciate that, especially for the new generation. I mean, if we go back in time to Timely Comics, this has been running since 1935, 36?
39, I think, was when Timely came about, yeah.
So, we have characters in continuity since 1939, it's now 2015. What's the math? I don't know. 85 years? That's insane. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do at this point? So, it's 75 years, sorry.
So it can't be that much longer, because, I mean, Batman's 75th year anniversary, right. Yeah, and he's one of the longest-running ones, but...
It was 39 as well.
Was it 39?
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason I thought it was a little...
It was December 39.
Last year was the...
Oh, I guess it's a good point. Good call. Math.
Math!
39 plus 75 is 2014.
I had a coworker ask me what arithmetic meant.
Nice.
I laughed.
Wow.
It's so funny.
Well, I think to dummy. To get some background on it, so neither of you have read Avengers or New Avengers, right?
No, I mean, when it comes to the major titles, the stories are so interlaced and interspersed that I have to wait and read the graphic novels. I can't go week by week. It gets too confusing.
The only Avengers that I read were the ones through Original Sin.
Gotcha.
And I read the Uncanny Avengers for a time, maybe through issue 12.
So Hickman has been double shipping and writing both Avengers and New Avengers. They've been they've been companion books for over the last 2 years. And when he started, he said he had a 1,000-page Bible of exactly what was going to happen. Oh, that he had it planned out for 3 years. We're now out of year two, basically. We're entering year three. What we're seeing is the culmination of what he started with Avengers and New Avengers 1, like, 2-plus years ago.
So what you're saying is we're either going to want to kick Jonathan Hickman in the balls or shake his hand.
Right, yes.
Or shake his balls or kick his hand. I mean, let's not split hairs.
Leave all the possibilities open, I guess.
So now, hello, Mr. Hickman!
Restraining orders from Jonathan...
It's apparently warm in here!
Restraining orders from Jonathan Hickman and Quentin Tarantino in this episode.
Ow, my hand!
So, but I mean, it started from this crisis. It's literally sort of Crisis on Infinite Earths-esque. If you go back, you know, to brothels that we were recording last year or, you know, even earlier, like, I've already started to talk about, this is what's going to happen. You could see it coming. We talked about, are they going to slam Ultimate and 616 together? We've had that conversation
before. Yeah, we totally had that conversation. Because
it started with Avengers in this multiverse. And what starts happening is these incursions, almost exactly like Crisis on Infinite Earths, where you start getting these periods of overlap. And when you have these periods of overlap, one universe or the other is destroyed.
Yeah.
And so over the last few months, it's been getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So the Avengers have been dealing with a race that travels the multiverse and builds worlds. They sort of, like, they're a race that is the incarnate of sort of the God gene, that someone intentionally is seeding life throughout the universe. So the Avengers have been dealing with that. In the new Avengers, we've been dealing with the Illuminati. And what they've been doing is they notice these incursions, which are intricately tied to the world builders and whatnot, and they've been trying to stop them. And the only way to stop them is you either take the dice roll that you're going to die or they're going to die, or you go to the other Earth and you destroy that universe. So you've had Namor, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Cap for a little bit, which was interesting because he was their moral core, Beast, and Black Bolt, I think. I think that was the Illuminati.
Sounds right.
Yeah. They
Beast
they
was been, on there, really?
Well, because Charles Xavier was one of the Illuminati.
Yeah, yeah. And he's kind of taking Xavier's spot. And
yeah.
And that kind of ties into with the all-new X-Men. He was responsible for bringing the original X-Men team back to present day. So that kind of has done some tearing of the fabric of time, of space-time, in a sense. And it's, I don't know, so maybe somewhat tying into this whole universe.
Huh.
Well, I think that they started 3 years ago, because they have, you know, they go to Camp Marvel or whatever, they go to a secret place where they talk about their storylines, and I have no doubt that they...
Wait.
I want to go to Camp Marvel so bad.
You guys have never heard that? They do that.
No.
They do a yearly conference where they go somewhere with, like, the top 12 writers, and they're
who
like...
Who do I have to kill to go there?
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, is it like Nantucket? Like, can I go jet skiing?
I don't know that's quite what the... It's more camp.
I remember summer camp. I got my...
I'll sit there and watch them just talk. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Put earplugs on me. Just let me be in the room with
them.
No, I'm trying to remember what... I don't remember what
cut
podcast.
Cut my ears off.
I think they called it Camp Marvel. There was a podcast. He was interviewing Bendis. And Bendis was like, yeah, this year at the camp retreat, we talked about...
Oh, my God. They have a camp retreat.
Yeah.
I have such a boner. Oh!
But you've got to imagine that they walk in and they say, okay, Hickman's taking over the Avengers. He's going to double ship books. He's got this 1,000-year plan. We love it. What are we going to do? We're going to bring back Secret Wars. We're going to put all this together. Bendis, who's been double shipping 2 X-Men books, is doing the exact same thing. And then you're talking about Amazing X-Men earlier. Everybody has just basically been like, let's get your stories to this point.
It's
because
a conspiracy.
Then you're going to hit it all the same time. And
oh,
I mean,
great.
You've just been seeing with new Avengers, you're seeing it fall apart. The rhetoric that I've been seeing is that Reed Richards, Doom, a bunch of others, you know, the people who usually solve these things, they've been getting messages saying, you can't win. Let's figure out how not to lose. Like, there's no endgame. This is going to happen.
Is Reed still involved with the Council of Reeds?
Not in any of the Avengers books.
Okay.
He's part of the Illuminati. And see, the Illuminati split off into the Cabal, which is run by Namor, kind of. It's got, like, Thanos and all of his crew going around, like, gleefully destroying these other multiverses.
Now, you bring up the Council of Reeds. So there was a book. After Johnny Storm died, they created the Future Foundation. And they kind of discovered that this group of Reed Richards from the alternate universes were going and destroying these other universes so that they could survive. Does this tie into that at all? Like,
was that the precursor of it?
Yeah.
Well, that was also... I'm also not going to swear to it. I think that was also a Hickman book.
Yeah, no, it was.
Damn it!
Yeah.
That's what Hickman was doing before he moved to Avengers and New Avengers.
Shit.
So, I mean, like, he's had this... And I have no doubt, because Hickman is, like, number one or number two of my favorite writers, because he does these epic stories.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt whatsoever that this has been his plan for... And he's admitted it in interviews. This has been his plan for like 3, 4, 5 years, that this is what we're going to do. And Marvel must have just hitched on for it and said, okay, Bendis, start writing in this way to get to this point.
Yeah.
Everyone get to this point. So when we hit Secret Wars, it's going to destroy, you know, all of our sort of
Oh, it's fucking beautiful.
Was he riding into that Ultimate Galactus stuff where Galactus kind of came over and that kind of... Because that seems like that's another something else that is tying into the multiverse thing.
Is that the Galactus?
Yeah, well, like 616 Galactus goes to the Ultimate Universe...
And starts eating it up.
It starts eating it up, and I think he ends up... Actually, him and the Galactus of that... They merge, or he defeats them, or something.
We're saying Galactus weird because it's three different words. Yeah. It's like a plague. It's weird. Fucking Ultimate Universe.
But yeah, I think that's... I mean, if you look at it from a marketing standpoint, it's a way to reboot, but it's a way to not so abruptly reboot or through one event reboot. It's saying, let's get all of our ducks in a row. Let's get everything headed to this one point. We're going to do this one thing all across the universe, and everything's going to change. And all I've heard is people being excited about... You know, Gwen Stacy's gonna be back. You're gonna have all these additional Spider-Man. You know,
Uncle Ben. I love your rice.
Uncle Ben is going to be
a black guy.
Maybe.
Who knows?
But you're just seeing all of these.
Aunt May is very progressive. I'm sorry.
All these multiverses are coming together, and it's coming to a head, and it's going to happen on Earth. That's everything that I've been reading in Avengers: New Avengers. So. It should be a pretty epic storyline. So that's a backstory of what's going on.
I imagine at Marvel Camp, they say, like, okay, DC has done this reboot. We need to do the same thing, but not make it happen the same way. And so they had to go in this roundabout manner of having the universe collision storyline.
Yeah. Well, as you know, they've got to look at the distinguished competition.
Which yeah, I love absolutely. When
they're referring to it as that. And you know,
oh, that's DC. That's great.
Bless you, Matt.
Oh, that's the cute.
The lovable drunk of Follow Networks, that's Matt.
You know what? 3 hours ago when we were podcasting, I was sober, so just blame the day. That's shiny. The chocolate bottle. That was full earlier, and I finished off another one, so.
Good job.
Yay.
But, I mean, you look at it from a marketing standpoint. How can you not... see what they've done and try to say, okay, we want to do that too, but how do we improve on it? You know what I mean? Yeah. What did people not like, and how do we try and fix that?
It does sound like, yeah, I mean, seeing how far it reaches back, it does seem like it's being very carefully done. And
I mean, Future Force was how long ago? It was 2 years, wasn't it?
It's Future Foundation even probably... Or
Future Force, damn it.
I want to say it was just before his run on Avengers started, because that's when his run on Avengers started when they switched... to Marvel Now, and Future Foundation was prior to Marvel Now.
Right, that is the and Marvel Now was widely considered a reboot,
which it wasn't.
It was more of a rebranding in a sense, and it was some certain which they talked about, like characters have had changes, they've had costume changes, they've had kind of attitude changes. But I contribute that more to the writers really than an out and out reboot of a character.
It's so interconnected. I mean, that's a long con.
That is, yeah.
That is a long... That's Matchstick Men. You ever see that movie with Nick Cage?
Yeah.
That is a long con.
No, and I think it's brilliant. I think that Marvel Now is the setup to this. Like, everything is leading to set it up. One of the ways you set it up, because with Marvel Now, you get Bendis off of the Avengers. With Marvel Now, you reset the books to number one, saying that there's been a change. You start with this storyline that, like I said, if you probably sat down with any, Marvel Comics nerd, they're probably going to say, oh, well, in this issue of Journey into Mystery, they hinted at this. And they've had to have seeded this in a lot of different books, and it's all leading this way.
Journey into Mystery.
Journey into Mystery stopped with Marvel Now, too, I think. But sad day. Because it was up there. It was a lot of issues.
It was like issue 1012 of Journey into Mystery.
That's such a great title, too.
Yeah,
but no, I think it'll definitely be earth shaking for the Marvel universe, and I think it'll change things. But I wouldn't call it a reboot because I don't think they're ditching anything.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it's gonna happen. And I've talked about my fears of certain things. Like I said, I'm a big Colossus fan. Been a big Colossus fan for the longest time, and I read some of the solicitations for, I think it was either April or May, where the tagline basically said, could this be Colossus' last stand, and it's tied into the whole Juggernaut thing, and I'm like, are they going to kill Colossus? And then this whole Secret Wars thing, and I'm like, oh, now we're going to get the gay Colossus over into the main continuity, and I'm like, I'm not homophobic by any stretch of imagination, but
a defining characteristic. It's a defining characteristic
of him, you know, and his relationships with a lot of characters and people, and it that kind of honestly is a big fear of mine. It's a big worry of mine that they're going to be scratching some characters and bringing in the ultimate versions of them to
fill it
to
out.
Fill it in. You know,
the idea sense. The idea of why your fears will be allayed. Marvel did their big gay wedding of Northstar, and Northstar was ultimate Colossus's lover.
Yeah.
So they won't do that. If Marvel
they
did
can
their
have more
like,
than one gay character?
They can have more than one gay character, absolutely. They sure can. What I'm saying is they this big thing about Northstar's wedding.
Yeah.
3 years ago, 2 years ago. It was a while ago, but
yeah, but who's to say that one of them doesn't die in this event as well? And I'm just saying I want regular Colossus to stick around, and I have a fear that he won't.
Regular Wolverine.
I think
you'll get him back. Damn it!
You'll get him back with Secret Wars. I would not be surprised because
he's been dead since 2006 in Ultimate. So
I mean, what I find really interesting about this is, and this is where I think that Marvel could really screw the pooch. They're giving them what they want, which is going to be continuity, but they're also going to have a major change. And when you get major changes, you're going to get revisions. And just like you said, they have a choice here. And what they've been saying is that they're going to appeal to everybody. And I think that DC, when they did the New 52, they decided, we can't appeal to everybody. We're going to restart it and do what we want. And that's the choice you're going to make. What are you going to go with? What are you going to do?
The choice I'm going to make is the ultimate awesome universe. That's what they have to do right now. That's it. No, I have nothing. I don't know. Like, I'm such a fanboy. I'll follow whatever they do.
Do you wipe it and reboot, or do you go through the agonizing process of choosing, do we have two Colossi now? Do we have 15 Spider-Men? Like, what
Spider-Man.
Do you do?
Oh my god, your plurals are great. Oh!
I mean,
say, how's Nightcrawler in plural?
Nightcrawlers.
Oh shit, that sucked.
With the Spider-Man, at least, Peter Parker is dead, you know, in the Ultimate Universe. And so, if you bring in Miles Morales, you still have somebody different. You've already have multiple Spider-Guys in the 616.
Spider-Guys. Oh, I'm so happy.
2099 is brought to the present day.
Yeah. Superior Spider-Man still running around doing stuff.
Right. And so, especially Spider-Verse has brought all these guys together. So,
do you really want to read that book where you've got 16 Thors, though? You know what I mean?
Yes. Actually, I do. But, I mean, yeah, who's gonna be the guy that stands at the end of this battle? Because now Thor, you know, is a girl, and but Thor's
a woman,
still, but Thor
a woman
what, was a woman. Thor's still running around though, doing stuff.
I don't know.
Hammerless.
Well, but then to be fair, see, there's a question for you. So the issue I just read, and I'm two issues behind, so somebody might be like, "Hey, you're totally wrong." Thor has just walked into a portal in Avengers that will send him across the universe to fight whatever's causing this multiverse collapse, and they don't think he'll ever come back. So now, are we going to have female Thor being the permanent new Secret Wars Thor?
Or is or anybody Thor. Really going to be bothered by that? Is Thor really anybody's favorite superhero?
I've been a big Thor fan for a while.
Okay, well, you're
especially Jason Aaron, God of Thunder.
Colossus
is fantastic.
Your favorite. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
But Colossus is my favorite, but I've been a big Thor fan too. I've loved the character of Thor for a long time.
But I think that's the marketing question. Do you do a new 52? Do you wipe the slate clean and reboot from one? Or do you somehow try and keep the continuity? And if you do keep the continuity, how do you symbolize change? You change it by changing the characters and the storylines, but you're going to leave the Colossi behind. You're going to have those sacrifices.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's not going to be an out-and-out reboot. I feel like they're going to basically cherry-pick these characters. This character's going to survive. It's probably going to be mainly 616 people, because I think most of the Ultimate Universe has died off anyways. They've had the Ultimatum wave, killed off a lot of people. I don't know if the Galactus thing, if many people died in that event as well.
Yeah, but I mean, like Frank Castle died in that, Hercules died in that, Danny Ketch, there's been enough that have died the Galactus
right.
wave.
And
Galactus.
You know, you don't have you have
whatever.
Wolverine, quote-unquote, dead now, but his son in the Ultimate Universe is alive. So that's a way to bring him.
And his son's name is Jimmy Hudson.
Hudson, because he was adopted by the Canadian folks.
But he could very easily Alpha become Flight. James Howlett.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Do you maybe? So is all of Secret Wars just a way to incorporate the Ultimate Universe in? Are we going to cherry pick like the 12? Like, okay, pick your best 12 out of Ultimate, bring them into 616, and that's all that Secret Wars is going to be? Or do you think they're going to change it much more than that?
I don't know,
but I feel like it's going to be the former more than the latter.
Do you guys find it weird that the Ultimate Spider-Man title will be the only Ultimate title available in February, which starts tomorrow?
See, and you could still keep that title. You could still have Miles Morales in the 616. He could still be Ultimate Spider-Man. That could still be the title of his book, just to separate him from Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
Or Superior Spider-Man.
I can respect that. That was a good point.
But yeah. I do think Ultimate... The Ultimate Universe going away is you know, sort of one of the points of this Secret Wars.
It is until 20 years from now when they bring out the Fantastic Universe.
Well, we'll have a podcast then about that when that happens.
Hey, remember back when they had the Ultimate Universe, Cody? Oh, Cody died 10 years ago in that tragic car accident. I forgot.
You're going to feel bad if you listen to this episode 20 years from
now. If you die in 10 years, I'm going to feel like such a shitheel. So sorry about the death of you. Hey, Troy, you want to co-host when he dies? Oh, God.
So,
anyway.
I'm excited to see what happens. You know, I'm slightly fearful of certain of possible endings to this, but I'm on board. I'm excited to see what happens.
I wish that Marvel came up with the idea of the reboot before DC.
I kind of do,
too. The complete restart.
Well, I think it's... I don't know. You've got... I mean, you can't discount Crisis. Crisis was a really, really interesting way...
Yeah, Jesus Crisis.
Complex... Jesus Crisis.
Jesus Crisis.
That got was it. The crisis on multiple Earths, was Jesus Crisis.
In Bethlehem's.
Oh, boy.
It's a Twitch drink now.
I'm sorry.
Officially reached the point.
No, it...
We're almost done, I promise, listeners.
It's... You know, that was a way to solve some of these problems, and I think Marvel's using sort of the same formula. They're just not rebooting the entire world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as New 52 sold, which it sold like gangbusters. That was the first time in, I think, 4 years that DC outsold Marvel.
Yeah.
And they continued outselling Marvel almost every month until Marvel Now hit. So it's clear that Marvel wants to do something to push themselves over the top. But they look at, I think, some of the issues people had with New 52, which was the total reboots, but not quite, because we're still using some history. It was very sort of middle of the road. It wasn't final, but it also wasn't...
Batman and Green Lantern were the two top-selling books before New 52, and those were the two books whose continuities basically were intact after the New 52.
For the most part.
Right, yeah. Which made no sense when you're wiping the slate clean, like, oh, who's this, you know, guy in a cape, you know, with a cape and an S on his chest? We have no idea! Oh, look, he can leap, and he can't fly.
I just picked up at the library Justice League Origins from the New 52.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns and what have you. Fun book, but I just wanted to reread it, so I was reading it on the crapper today. And, you know, it starts with Batman and Green Lantern interacting, so it's so funny that you say that right now.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole, like, what about that guy in Metropolis? Let's find him. You know, it's right in there. It's right on Front Street.
And that was their approach to the New 52. And there was some pushback from that, even though it sold really well. So Marvel's trying to bring everything in, and, it, you know, they're trying to make different choices.
Better choices.
I don't know. I thought the New 52 was very successful.
I love it.
I think that they've made a lot of good choices. They could have made better choices.
I love it for the simple fact that they... That Aquaman is getting a lot more respect than he did previous. I've been a big Aquaman fan too for a while, and
70s, late 70s till present, Aquaman has been a shitheel.
Yeah,
just the butt of every joke.
I've read the first two volumes, I haven't read Throne of Atlantis yet, but they're excellent books. They really are excellent books.
Yeah.
And it makes him a very compelling character. And that's my biggest, like, happiness about the New 52 is that. I mean, and I mean, Batman books have been great.
I mean, Snyder on Batman was great. Batgirl was fantastic. I'm trying to think what else. Aquaman started off really, really strong. First 20 issues or so were really great. Then they switched writers and it got really complicated and I stopped following
it. And they brought in the others, which really diluted it.
It that did.
Bit, a bit too. So
the others? What about the tail section of the plane?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
That was a Lost reference.
That'll give me no.
I'm lost. Because I don't read Aquaman.
And then my biggest disappointment is Green Lantern or Green Arrow has suffered from the New 52.
It has.
Like, he's not caught on. The books really aren't that great.
It's just funny because that's the one show that was the precursor of the modern DC television
universe. Well, I think it has something to do with it. I think they knew the book was selling so poorly that what's one way to garner interest?
They wouldn't gamble like that. You don't make TV shows on a roll of the dice.
Well, but you also have the writers of that show are also writing a book called Arrow, so they're trying to capture that market as well.
Yeah. And Smallville season 11 and X-Files season whatever. And
yeah, IDW does
just
that.
Just what they do now.
But it's, I don't know, New 52 angered a lot of people. I mean, if you want my opinion, though, a lot of people blame it on the reboot. I blame it on their choice in writers.
That's absolutely right.
I mean, I think they've narrowed down their writing pool so much, they've made people mad. I'm trying to think of... They have no female writers, which I think is a challenge, just because they write a lot of books, and I think that sometimes a female writer's perspective would be really helpful.
Especially on, say, a Wonder Woman or a Harley Quinn book?
Yeah, no, that might be kind of helpful. Although Azzarello's Wonder Woman is absolutely fantastic.
Is it good?
I really liked it because he puts her in Greek mythology, which I think is a great place for her, and makes her very, you know, a part of that world. So she's interacting, you know, with Zeus and Poseidon and Dionysus and characters like that, which is great. But at the same time, that's why I love Batgirl, is because I'm forgetting her name. Becky something. I think Becky Cloonan.
Barbara Gordon?
No.
Okay.
But she did a great job on that book. And they actually fired her, and because of fan protests, she came back after like 2 issues.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So, I mean, I think that they've made the mistake there of narrowing their writing pool. But I don't think the New 52 was still a solid reboot. I think they did a good job with it.
But Marvel can't do it.
They could.
If they do it, they're just copying.
Right. I agree with that.
And
in a sense, but yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. The general public would see that way. But at the same time, they've never done it. So, no time like the present.
But, like a kid today, a 15-year-old picking up a Marvel book and they reboot, he's not going to know that it was a, you know, something that DC did 20 years ago. Well, 4 years ago, yeah, but 20 years before that.
I think it depends. Are you going to play for the new reader at the cost of the reader who's been coming in every day for the last X number of years?
Yeah, they're going to die soon. I want the new ones. If I could put nicotine in the pages and addict the children to comics, I would do it.
That's a solid plan, I think. It's good.
DC, if you do that, I get a quarter an issue.
So restraining orders from what? Tarantino, Hickman, and now the Distinguished Competition?
And Adrian Paul.
Oh, okay.
That was from earlier.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Way off topic.
That's from another episode. Please. Sorry.
Matt's going to be in court so much in the next couple months.
Yay! Jeff Gorham!
Apparently he's encouraging kids to smoke.
No!
No, he wants nicotine in the pages that absorb into their skin.
Yeah, with tactile nicotine absorption.
Which will cause them to smoke.
No, they won't smoke. They'll touch more comics.
until they stop putting them in the comics, and then
they'll
have to go.
It's cheaper and easier.
They're going to start peeling the pages and sticking it in their mouth.
They'll drop them like acid. It'll be great. Okay, look. Neither here nor there. Secret Wars, this Marvel reboot, rehash, retelling, re-what the fuck ever, is going to be amazing. Don't give up. Don't hate on it without reading it. Give it a chance, okay? Read it. Check it out. That's the whole point of this today, right?
Yeah, well,
we're all going to check it out. We're all going to keep reading,
nothing
right?
To check it out. And I actually want to add one little thing. Another thing that I'm kind of upset about that Marvel's doing, and I don't know how they're going to make it out of Secret Wars, but the canceling of the Fantastic Four comic book is still stuck in my craw a bit. Because they're doing it because of the movie. And it's just...
In case the movie sucks ass.
They're doing it because they're not getting the rights back. Because they want the rights back. And they're like, well, they're the little child that's taking their ball and going home. Because things aren't going their way.
Right.
They sold the rights out, and then now they want them back. Well, they're not getting them back. Well, we're gonna cancel the line and cancel all this promotion for your movie. It's like, just grow up and
I'll say as
they're
an
the
only
first
child,
family. They're
it's Disney. They don't want to grow up. That's their whole shtick.
But they're essentially the first Marvel book is the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And, no, it would be like canceling Superman. Like,
right.
It would be like canceling
the Mona Lisa.
I don't know about that. I mean,
I actually said Mona Lisa. I'm really sorry. I am really tongue-tied.
No, I mean, it would be like DC not putting out an Action Comics for a month. And
yeah.
You don't do that.
And, I mean, they said the characters are going to stick around. They're going to be in the comic books, but in just different form. But they're the first family. Come on, like...
Yeah,
It sucks. It really sucks.
Well, you're getting that Disney money now. You're getting that giant, you know, corporate umbrella, and they're gonna fight to take everything back that they can from Fox because, you know, otherwise Fox is gonna jump on the train and
Sony is
no
Fantastic Four,
Sony Spider-Man
and Fantastic Four.
No, Fox owns
no.
Yes,
I think Fox owns Fantastic
Fox
Four.
Fox owns Fantastic
you guys,
Four.
Really?
And X-Men. Yes,
I'm so naive.
I know they've got X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men and Fantastic Four. I promise.
It's
Sony owns Spider-Man. But, and when we talked about it, Fox wants to make X-Men TV shows, and I hope that they use this as leverage to buy back some of the property. I don't know how they are going to do it, but...
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, and they've talked about putting Spider-Man in the next... Is it Avengers movie or something? Like, they're trying to finagle it with...
They wanted him in Civil War, the next Captain America movie. That's not going to happen, probably. Because they're saying they're going ahead with other Spider-Man movies, but they're hoping by the next, the Avengers Infinity War, which is 2018, I think.
It's out there a little
bit. So they're hoping maybe in the next 3 years they'll be able to get
it. Talk it away from Sony.
But we'll see. I think, honestly, with Fox's interest in making television shows, that they've got more leverage to get those properties back from Fox than maybe Sony. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. I would honestly love all of it to be under one house. Still give those houses, the Sony's and the Fox, give them some money. Say, hey, we're buying back. We'll give you this much of the profit of these movies. But, like, let us have creative control. Let us integrate them back in our universes to have a better flow, you know?
I don't know, though. That, like I said, that Disney corporate umbrella, they want everything in-house, and they want to control everything coming out of it. So I don't know if they would want that or not. I mean, I think they might just... You know, they might just tell Marvel, you're done with it until we can take it all back. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, getting back to Secret Wars, I think that it's... Like I said, you want to know where it is? Check out Jonathan Hickman. See what he's been writing for the last, apparently, you know, 20 years. Because it's been leading up that long.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I mean, that's the truth. Fuck it. There's nothing else to say. Like, it's the long con. Again, back to that.
And, I mean, he's been planning this for forever. And every interview I've read with him in the last week or so since the announcement have all said, he's like, this is it. He's like, this is my blockbuster moment. He's not writing a book for Marvel after this.
It'd be like, amazing. Yeah, he just, like, retires.
And he's, like, wiping his hands and he says, I'm going to go do something else. Because he's writing a lot of other really great stuff. East of West, which I think would be a great comic book club book. He's writing... all kinds of independent stuff that's really, really good. So, you know, we'll see. But, like Troy said, if you get upset about it, blame Jonathan Hickman, because I think he's the origin. He is the God particle that is behind all of this.
The God particle, great.
Hickman and then Bendis, and then whoever is above him, I don't know. But
Joe Quesada, probably.
Yeah, there you go, Quesada.
And Jeff Johns for DC, I mean...
We're not talking about DC, Matthew.
I'm just saying He's up there, like, for me. I thought you were just listing your top 10 or something. God! I like Jeff Johns. You guys are dicks.
And on that note...
And on that note, we'll see you next week here at The Brothel, where we'll be recording at Scenic Avon, Indiana, Android's Dungeon. Be there, and join us
Deadly
here
class.
At The Brothel.
Read comics!
Yay! And buy them! That's more important than reading them. Just buy them and bury them in your backyard. I don't care. Just buy them and keep this industry alive for us to enjoy. Good day, sir.